Today we're talking Cat Williams versus a seventh grader, Nate Parker opens a film school, and black Trump supporters explain themselves. All that and more.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live this week with no music, so we are going to mime.
No music.
No music.
No music.
Hey. Hey, there we go. We got a beat.
Remix, y'all.
Woo. Hey.
Put your hands in the air, put your hands in the air, put your hands in the air,
I said we just danced the entire show.
I don't want to do that.
I didn't sign up for this.
Rachel's like, I just came to talk about Hot Topic. There was no Soul Train jumping off in this show today.
Here's the thing, I did not grow up watching Soul Train, so therefore I did not learn to dance because my parents.
Listen, you can binge watch Soul Train on YouTube right now.
I might go home and do that right now so I can keep up with you guys.
It's pretty great too. Listen, I still might have some of those dance steps that I learned off of that show. All right, well, we got a great show today. You're watching Black Hollywood Live this week. The hottest show out this week, because we're covering all the news topics that have happened over the week. And joining me today is the beautiful, 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 beautiful Courtney Stewart.
That's me.
The equally as beautiful Rachel True. And the equal as beautiful Jesse Kennedy.
Hey.
And I'm Dario Kristen, your host today.
Equally as beautiful.
Equally. I got a haircut just
equally
for today.
Beautiful. Lined up real nice. And you wore a special tie.
And I wore a special tie, which you can't really see. But yes. We got a lot of great topics that we're going to be covering today. But first, we're going to talk about the buzzer meter question from last week, which we had a major discussion about, which is, do you agree with Amber Rose? And she's been making a lot of comments in the news. Actually, a lot lately.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Keeping her name out there.
And you guys voted, and let's see. Jesse, do you have those results, or do
Unfortunately, our Black Hollywood website is down right now, so we'll have to come next week with those.
Okay, but you know what? If I have to, like, you know, think into the future.
That sounds biased.
Okay, you're right. I won't get my response.
I do want to say I read someone's comment on YouTube, and they were saying, "Oh, you guys missed her point."
No, we didn't.
There were some complaints about
this. Courtney just said, "No, we didn't."
We didn't.
No, I understand what the person writing in was saying, because Amber is sticking up for why is it okay for men to sleep with as many people as they want and just be considered a man? And if I do it or you do it, then we're hoes. So I understand what Amber Rose is trying to do. I think I don't necessarily. Listen, she got famous from sleeping with somebody. So it is hard for me to completely understand the message. Like, I do completely agree. You should be able to. We all on this panel, everyone out there listening, should be able to sleep with whoever you want, whatever way you want, as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. At it.
I got the website working, and the votes are at 100% yes.
Oh!
Wow. That's a slam. I don't think we've ever had.
They agree with Amber Rose?
It said that, yeah.
Wait, 100%?
I think, no,
well, they agreed. Because we were talking about whether or not we're holding the girl Amber Rose versus like a Beyonce to different standards. So
really 100%? I don't know if I believe 100%.
All right,
I feel like Amber Rose hacked
if that's what you guys say.
Probably.
No,
wait, what's her fan base called?
Yeah, she's
right.
The Rosebuds or something.
She's got hacking skills.
Yeah,
do
you know what a Rosebud is?
I don't know.
Well, if she got 100%, good for her.
Of course you do.
But the buzzer meter question for today is something we'll be talking about as well, which has been in the news, is do you believe black Trump supporters?
Do you believe them, y'all?
I got a lot to say about that, personally. Okay. But first off, we're going to talk about the trending topics with DJ Jesse J.
Boom. So there's been this comedian who everyone's been talking about named Quincy Jones. He's 32 years old, and he is terminally ill. He is the doctors basically said that he has a year to live. So he put up this Kickstarter campaign for $5,000. So that he could put together a special. A lot of the comedians at a show I was at a few weeks ago, they were talking about this, and they were really excited. Just wanted to, they didn't even know him, but they wanted to support someone in the community. So a whole bunch of people donated. He got the $5,000. He went on Ellen, and Ellen Dunn got Shutterfly to donate $15,000 because she booked him. HBO is going to actually air the special.
Yeah, I was about to say $5,000 is not a special make, but you know, I think that's amazing that she's done that. I'm not sure what he has, but
I believe it's
Being faced with a terminal illness and still being able to have a sense of humor about it and carry on with your comedy is really inspirational.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't hear anything you said after you said "done got" because I just you took me. You I was like, you got me with the "done got." I was like, you hit me just with the "done got." So oh after that, God, it kind of went void for a second, but then I came back and resurfaced. You know what, Ellen always does some really amazing things for people. So I have to applaud her because we've talked about her on the show several times about helping people out. And I know she's a big supporter of even from people who have certain diseases and animals. So, you know, applaud it to her because she doesn't have to.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question because I've been seeing this within certain things. So, and then maybe it's just a certain type of person out there who complains about stuff like this in this day and age.
My thing is,
so with this, a lot of people were saying, oh, here comes Ellen, the white person coming in to save the black.
Cat Williams, we're going to talk about later. I wish this was the kind of stuff he did.
That's what we should
attention.
Be hearing from him versus him being of seventh graders.
Listen, I will say as a black actress, and you're an actress as well, we're not always 100% supportive of each other. Really? In any community. It's not just black, but it's not just black people, I think. Yeah, but yes, it's frustrating, I suppose. But I think sometimes black Twitter, you know, is just looking for, let's get whitey. Sometimes white people are really lovely. We shouldn't always look, they're not all the enemy. And I believe that Ellen is a minority as well, being a gay woman and being outed like she was back in the day.
Very true.
And kind of having her career go down and then having to reinvent
herself.
She's
a success story after
coming
back.
And she's a comedian, so she understands what he's going through.
Yeah. But I didn't see, who's the little short guy? Kevin Hart. I didn't see Kevin Hart doing this. Who has enough money to do a million HBO specials.
I mean, that's true. Just finding a sponsor. Like, she went to Shutterfly. It's not like she, like, wrote a check or what have you. But she also has a different platform that isn't really the case. Is there a black comedian talk show right now that I can't
think of? Not that I know
of.
Well, no,
Byron Allen has
Steve
one.
Steve Harvey.
No, Byron, yeah. Steve and then Harvey. Byron has the, does he still have his show at night that can go on? After the Late Late Show?
I don't know. Girl, I don't think so.
Like, girl, either way, it's a girl, if we ask that many questions.
Listen, I'm just trying to get the, you know, support where the support is.
I have a sidebar to say that when I did Steve Harvey's radio show, he was so, like, not nice to me and called me the white black girl that I just don't like you, Steve.
I feel like he just had a cunty personality. He's super nice. I liked him.
But also, he's such a misogynist.
When I say that word, it's not a. I don't mean it disrespectfully, because like I just realized. No, there are certain people who talk a certain way. Like my grandmother talks cunty. It's just she's old. Sorry. Okay, let me use another word.
So she just say shit like
whatever the heck comes up her mind. Like, why you look like that?
But don't you think? And I'm not trying to turn into Steve Harvey discussion, but I do find it interesting that women were flocking and reading his books and literally
with that
he's like a raving misogynist. Yeah. So why would you cow in the milk? Shut up.
No, but I hear you. Here's where I have to disagree with you, because I read the book and my sister and mother asked me about it. It's a perspective that a lot of women don't know.
I understand it's a 1950s perspective that modern women today do not know. It is. It's keep your legs shut.
I agree with a lot of things that were said in the book.
Keep your legs shut?
I try.
Well, you don't actually have to open yours to do those things. So
depending on the position.
You get to sit there.
I will say this, as much as I did not have fun on Steve Harvey's show, I do really respect what he's done. The empire that he has created for himself is insane. I don't think he particularly seems to, you know, like a different kind of black person who throws off his sensibility. Like, if I threw him off, I don't know. That kind of black person who says, if you're not black like I am, I find very frustrating.
I feel like we're about to do a concert right now.
All we need is a wind machine.
A monologue from Black Lightning.
Honey, speaking of a wind machine, it was like Cat Williams got hit by one, y'all. So this video went viral the other day. So apparently, Cat Williams was doing something nice.
He was.
He was playing with the neighborhood kids, soccer.
He was playing basketball. Oh, sorry.
I always saw basketball.
And I saw the video.
Stereotyping.
Yes, I'm racist.
Right here.
The Negroes should be playing basketball.
Well, black people play soccer.
Black people play soccer.
Cat Williams is too short to be playing basketball.
Those are those Afro Negroes.
That's not true.
Afro Negroes.
Here's what I want.
I'm kidding, by the way.
I said this about Cat last week. Like, I love Cat. I've worked with him. I think he's super duper duper talented. But if you're wondering why there's no, like, the Cat Williams half an hour comedy show,
this is
why. Because you can't insure someone who's erratic and who you know, hits people.
It's not like you said erotic. I was like, oh.
Well, that's where we're going right now.
So the video went out viral, and so this boy who TMZ is claiming he's in seventh grade that has not been, like,
confirmed. I thought he was 17. You can't be.
They said seventh grade.
17, though.
Okay, see, that's why they're saying allegedly. TMZ was saying seventh grade, and then other people saying he was older than that.
I mean, he could be 17 and in seventh grade. This is the American educational
please,
system.
Please, Lord Jesus,
I hope that's not the case.
But so apparently the kids started arguing with Kat first, and then Kat was like, nah, bitch. And then the kid had him in a chokehold headlock, but they ended to, like, laugh about it, kind of laugh it off
a little bit. Yeah.
Well, so all the real tea comes from this is Hazel E. from Love & Hip Hop. She came out because she used to date Cat with him.
And live with him. She got new breasts.
And the reason she broke up, she got new breasts. She broke up with him was because of that house raid. And when that happened, she was like, okay, he's not a safe person for me to be around.
I'm going to get out of the room.
Right. So she came out to say, look, we all want to support Kat, but until somebody acknowledges that they are bipolar schizophrenic, and until the friends around that person help treat that, there's no saving him.
I'm gonna say it's probably hard for her to put out, weird for her to put out a statement like that, but that's what I was gonna say. You don't know what's going on in someone's life. Yeah. So I realize that, like, Kat, oh, he's just crazy, he's insane. But honestly, there's obviously an issue going on. Sure. And it's not funny, and it's not something to make fun of. There are a lot of people in this country who suffer from different mental illnesses, and we sweep them under the rug. Now, in Kat's situation, I don't know what's going on with him, but I would assume it does strike me as
very bipolar.
It seems very bipolar behavior. And maybe, I know he's, like we said last week, he's raising a lot of kids. Maybe he pops them. That's your kids, that's your business. It's 2016, probably shouldn't be hitting kids anyway, but you can't hit random strangers, and he's done it a couple times. I also know that when you're bipolar,
Right, but to his defense, now, there is a video that they say there's two different videos. There's one video that shows him punching a kid, and then there's a second video that has been released by TMZ as well that shows a different angle. It shows Kat being, they said the way that his face is hit is focused, and his hair, that he was punched first, and that the first video with the alleged seventh grader or 17 year old, whatever he is, that Kat hit him was altered.
Thank you, Dario.
So then,
defending him.
No, I'm not defending the action.
But here's the thing: even if he was right, even if he didn't know the kid was, as you were joking,
that he's 17. Maybe he didn't know that the kid was seventh grade. I mean, that was a big kid.
Even if he was an adult,
right? It doesn't matter. You can't. Even if he was an adult, you can't go around punching people.
But what if he got punched
first? It doesn't matter. You still can't. I mean, this is not. I understand they were in a schoolyard, but this is not schoolyard stuff.
I know, but if I get punched first, like, I'm not going to say my reaction is not to punch somebody back.
Wait, you're a public figure. We're talking about something different.
You think a little bit.
Yes.
You should think a little
bit
harder.
Yes, because someone like
Kat. And you really just played my whole entertainment game. You was like, a public figure.
Yeah.
Daryl, not you.
No, no,
a public figure.
No, that's not what
you
I meant.
You are currently a public figure.
I meant you're a public figure, too. And I haven't heard about you.
If we hear about you hitting somebody in the street,
they can sue you, too. It's not like I haven't wanted to hit a bitch, either. But you can't. It's not like I don't want to hit bitches every day of my life.
Right,
like,
apparently you can.
You can
walk away.
I ran my car into some of these motherfuckers, but you can't.
You cannot do that.
So with Kat, I think it's a little dicey what she did. It's someone's personal business.
Yeah.
But she's in the know. He probably does have some conditions. And if you have a lot of yes people around you, which I'm not saying he does, but if you do, then they let you off the hook for your behavior. And at this point, he's only hurting his own career, which makes me so sad for him.
He's
so talented. Like, we all agreed he would dust the field with any comedian in a bout. But this is how he's self-sabotaging himself.
I think he should just lay super low for a while. He shouldn't go anywhere but stay in the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it seems like every time he goes out, something happens.
Well, Red from Bad Girls Club got your back. She went on a whole Twitter rant about how the black community is just shunned and we don't know the real history, and that they, don't know who they are. That's my question.
I love when people say they.
I'm actually working on trying to get Red to call into our reality show, Reality Checked, for this, because she went on this whole rant about how the media is doing this to Kat because he's speaking out against the media, and this is what the media does when you don't work with them.
Listen, she might have a nugget of truth. Yeah. If you piss off people, they're going to be more ready to send your tape off to TMZ and do things like that.
But you have to do the action.
But you got
to
do something to make it right. Available.
And but the editing thing, that's where she was speaking of it. Like, is someone out there?
But but I mean, it can be easily done. I mean, come on.
Okay, but even if it was, we still know he's got abroad at another place. He just hit somebody 2 weeks ago. Like, he was just in jail.
But he just out here like, hi, my name's Kat.
If you put it out there that that's what you're doing and you've shown nothing other than that for God knows how long, then you can't be surprised when people believe that of you, because that's what you've shown us.
Because
if
it's not something like a mental thing that's going on, it's a serious anger management problem, which is, you know, there's classes for that. There's things to be done. Because if your hair trigger like that, it's probably a symptom that something else is going on in your world that is wrong, either physically or mentally. So I love Kat, and I want him to wellness, and I want him to stop hitting alleged children.
And women.
And people in general.
And I want him to get his perm game tight. I need it to be tighter.
I want his hair conked again.
I need his perm game to get a little tighter.
I love his pimp look. I don't know why. Like, if a guy rolled up on me with that hairstyle, I'd be like, no. But I love someone looking like a 1959 pimp. Yeah. It's great look.
So, and a cat with a feather.
Well, maybe, Kat, you should play golf. And maybe if you want to learn
how
to play
golf.
I was
going to
say golf.
Well, no, he don't get to actually play, but you can check out DraftKings.com because they have a new situation going around where you can create your league based on golf. I know nothing about golf, so I'm going to have to go on to DraftKings.
But you can make a league around golf?
Yeah, like your favorite people or whatever. You guys can win money off of it. There's a code called, you guys can use the code BLACK. Just check out DraftKings.com.
Well, black you, like me.
You make
black
me want to go play golf right now. Okay. If I go to DraftKings.
The only golf player I know is Tiger Woods. I don't know no other.
I was going to say, I can't name another golf player.
Other than,
than Jack Nicklaus, who's like a million years old.
I mean, I know
old.
That.
Right.
That's like,
I would have been like, didn't he play the Joker in the original Batman?
Silly. All right, moving on. Courtney Stewart, what do you have for us today?
Wait, really quickly, I want to say, if there are people out there who are watching or listening, they're like, I hit people a lot, and I'm really tense. That's a great time to go see a therapist. And I know a lot of black people don't think that therapists are helpful, but they are.
They
your
are
friends,
very.
They can't help you the way that someone who is trained in these things can.
True.
So please, if you're feeling a little Kat Williams, please reach out and get help.
I felt like that was a Rachel moment. Like, we need some light music.
Turn the lights down.
Yeah, that goes.
That was like a PSA you just gave right now.
I just don't want people to think.
If you're feeling very angry tonight and you just want to punch that bitch on the corner, go get help.
I don't want people to think that we're, because it's like, oh, ha, 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 Kat Williams.
But
like, what mental distress, which a lot of people go through, but are embarrassed to talk about, is a big issue. So I just want you to know. I support you.
We support you.
And therapy is an awesome thing. I went for 10 years. I don't go anymore because I went for 10 years. And what I learned was some great skills that my parents didn't teach me because they didn't know. So I learned better coping skills so that I don't punch a bitch.
On that note, Courtney, what do you have for us today?
I'm not going to punch a bitch, but I would like to hug one. His name is Nate Parker, and he's amazing.
Yes.
He ain't no bitch, though.
But he's fine.
He is really handsome.
He is so handsome.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
Is there a story?
She said, I'm not going to even continue with the story. We're just going to leave it at that.
All right, so we all know Nate, who just sold his amazing movie, Birth of a Nation, for
$17 million
or millions
like that,
of dollars
right?
at Sundance. It's an amazing movie that he produced and starred in and directed everything. So he has a new project under his belt. He is opening a film school at Wiley College, which is a historically black college in East Texas. It's also the college that was the backdrop for the 2007 film he was in with Denzel Washington called The Great Debaters. And basically, the program launches fall of 2016, so he jumped right on that. I'm like, when did you have time to do that? Because you just did the movie. But the goal is to basically cultivate new voices. He did an interview with the local news outlet KLTV, and he said, quote, The hope is that we cover all aspects of filmmaking, from sound, lighting, and cinematography to just studying film, specifically with the cultural component and the history of film. You control the moving picture, you control the masses. So really, getting them rallied around the idea of reclaiming the narrative of America, specifically through the eyes of people of color, is his goal. So he's got to set up. They already have a summer program in place that kids are already signed up for, and fall 2016, you can take a class at the Nate Bam. Parker
yes. School That of is film. Amazing, and that is a black person supporting their community
yes,
and giving back. And I think that there's a lot of great film programs. They're not necessarily at historically black colleges.
Exactly.
So this is actually a really big yeah. deal, and hopefully it will let black parents who are thinking about sending their kids to school, like, this is a viable career working
yes.
in film. It's not some airy fairy thing. It's actually what his program will do will hopefully bring out new filmmakers with coming from a perspective of a person of color.
Yes.
And that's what we've kind of been missing. That's why you get movies, about like a white person going to Africa and rescuing everyone instead of the black person mm-hmm. who set them up and helped them do all that. So we might start seeing movies more from our perspective that aren't just, slave stories or Boys in the Hood.
And I think we're finding the transition of this too, because we've talked about Ava DuVernay doing this as well creating something for young black women. So I think we're getting both sides. And I really think that, especially after this year of coming off of, the lack of blackness in Hollywood and the Oscars, we're going to see this change in the next few years. And it's really going to be a big thing, I feel like.
And it feels like they're tackling it, too, from a stronger business perspective than it has in the past, because it's always sort of been like a creative conversation. Like, we want to see more black faces in front of the camera and we want to tell more stories. But like Ava DuVernay, like, her focus was on distribution and figuring out how to learn that path to distribution, which is so smart. Nate Parker figured out how to produce a film, get it sold. Those are the steps. Because, we live in an age now where it's pretty accessible for most people to be able to make a film of some sort. Because camera equipment and things like that.
You can do it on your iPhone.
Making it digital has, changed things. But the actual process of the business to really get it to the next level is something that I think has been missing. And it seems to be much more accessible.
And we have knowledge that people are actually, studios are sharing the knowledge, and studios are picking these things up. They see the value in it. So that's important, too.
He made me feel so lazy.
Yeah, I felt
lazy as a person.
You made a feature film that you starred in. You produced it and directed it and you wrote that shit. Like, you shopped it around, you got the money for it, and you were building a school. Like, he's been on the board of trustees
at the school for
however long and already was doing that. So, you're an impressive young man.
Yeah.
Shout out to you.
That's a role model right there.
Role model right there.
Is he single?
I don't know.
All right, Michael B.
Michael B. got some competition.
Step it on up.
Me and Nate might have a situation.
Daddy status.
Okay. Moving on to things that are wonderful also that are happening for people. So I don't know if you guys know or are aware, but millennials age 18 to 24 years old make up the fastest growing homeless population in this country.
Really?
I did not know, but once I started reading about it, it kind of made sense. Because those of us that are blessed enough to have a home to return to, like if we go to school or if we choose not to go to school, like most millennials are actually staying in their home with their parents well past the age of 18 years
That's
old.
True.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the parents who are losing the
But
homes.
There's a lot of 18 to 24-year-olds who don't have those parents, so they don't have anything to turn back to when they can't afford
Or their parents
exist.
Lost their home after the
or
big
Or parents have lost homes.
Yeah.
Or, so there's a whole population that's sort of in the middle that's not really getting anywhere. So San Francisco has obviously this problem, because the problem is much worse, obviously, in larger cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York, etc. And San Francisco decided to try to take on the issue a little bit. So there's a nonprofit organization called Mercy that provides subsidized affordable housing for low-income residents, including 25 apartments that they reserve specifically for 18 to 24-year-olds. Because the thing that's happening is that we do have public housing. We have Section 8 all across the country in different places, but waiting lists in San Francisco was so long they just closed it.
Yeah.
Wow. Waiting lists in New York were like 10 years.
Yeah, it was
right. The reason that it was a bigger problem for 18 to 24-year-olds is because families are actually given priority. So, like, if you're competing against a mom, a dad, and three kids, you're not going to get the apartment. They're going to get the apartment. So those 18 to 24-year-olds are falling through the cracks and being forced to live on the street. So They, the nonprofit set it up in an attempt to sort of make this a model going forward for other cities to give these kids a chance to be at home. Because also with the public housing, you would get kicked out of public housing or off, not qualify, if you were taking too many classes in school and receiving certain funding, because the way that federal funding was working, it's sort of like how our welfare system's set up. Like, if you work too much, you're not going to get your benefits. Right. So it didn't encourage 18 to 24-year-olds to be in school and try to get themselves out of that cycle of poverty and homelessness. And so Mercy is trying to do something a little different. And they are still qualifying for tax credits, and the kids are allowed to take certain amounts of classes in school.
Unfortunately, 25 units... it's not going to do
much. It's not a
lot.
It's not going to do much.
But it's a start.
It is
working. It's a start.
Absolutely. If you're combining like full-time work and part-time school and you now have somewhere to live, that changes your whole situation.
What they need to do is have in San Francisco subsidized housing for the teachers. Did you read the articles about how the teachers in super wealthy areas like San Francisco or Marin, they cannot afford to live in the school district where they're teaching. And
so God knows where.
That's right. Down on $20,000 a year, $25,000. Wow. A year. So that's going to become a problem, rich people. I mean, even we're talking about teachers even in private schools. They're not unionized in private schools, so they can be paid a lot or a little, and this is the future of our country education.
It is.
I'm always shocked that we don't
It's scary, though. Yeah. It's totally scary.
Income and housing, something weird.
But I am glad that San Francisco did this for 18 to 24-year-olds, and I hope that LA will step by. You know, I've heard these stories about little tiny houses in LA that people put out for homeless people to use, and then the city carts them away. Yeah. The tiny houses.
Well, I think we need to start with all the big markets too. You know, yes, the little markets need to be covered, but I think the major cities need to really have this foundation there.
I mean, you look at people in like overseas, they take the big warehouse crate things and they turn them into like
somebody was doing that.
Tons of apartments, and they're like literally, it's probably the size of this, like a square, but it's like incredible that they're trying to engineer and think of these things. Why aren't we bringing these to these cities? We have so much space. They always talk about like all this land in these woods where, you know, they release the prisoners and all that stuff. Like, why can't we build something like that? But the problem is upkeep. That's my biggest thing. Yeah. Is like, okay, if we're going to invest money in this, then I would rather my taxes invest into keeping it looking nice, because then it becomes a housing for people with
I guess that's why they carted away the little houses here. Oh, we don't want your little house in our nice neighborhood, so we're going to get rid of it because we don't want undesirables. If we have one house, then more people are going to congregate. I get that.
But there needs to be programming.
Absolutely.
That is forced upon
these people. I'm a democratic liberal person, and I believe in helping out other people. Like, we're only as strong as our weakest link, basically.
That's very true.
So if we don't have these things in line. But I also understand we live in a capitalist society. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, if you own, you know, you're a landowner and you own lots of buildings in San Francisco, you don't have to do anything. It's just, it's your personal calling.
It's your, right, yeah.
You know, if you feel compelled to help your fellow man, which I hopefully more of us will do that.
Well, otherwise it might be a bigger problem in the future. That's, you know, that's the reality of things.
It's a growing problem.
Yeah.
We need to.
All right. The biggest threat to capitalism.
Any way you can help. Yes. Well, thank you, Courtney, for that. Before we move on to our final topics of the day, I want to remind everyone to give us a rating and comment. You guys have been doing a great job on our YouTube and on iTunes of letting us know what you do and don't like. There's been a lot of discussions. There was a lot of hair discussions
from
last week. We really love the comments.
By the way, how cute is Courtney's hair today?
I'm loving the fro. The fro is, you know.
Like, I want you to know, as a small child, I was always like, why can't I get my hair to go up?
Pick it out and put a lot of product in it.
This is it.
But it's a perfect
pro. Lot of product in it. It's gorgeous looking.
Yeah. It's just perfect. I feel like a big pick should be right in the back. Just picking it
up.
In
my bag.
With a fist pick.
Right.
I don't have a fist pick, but I do have a really cool wooden pick that my friend brought me from Kenya.
Oh, I like the wooden picks.
And I do love that natural hair is slowly seeping its way back in, even here in LA. Because here in LA, I don't know about other areas in the country, we find a trend and everyone, all of a sudden, the next day, everyone is wearing the exact outfit and it has the exact hair. That's no, when I moved to New York City, I was like, how is everybody wearing a little flower dress? And because it was the 90s. Yeah. So how is everyone has the exact same dress? And, you know, I did think, and I must get one too. So I just like, no, I did. That because I was young. And I'm grown up now. And I understand that individuality is more important than following the masses, Kardashians.
Well, you said Kardashians.
What?
Well, I always felt like... living in New York as well, New York, if you say you have mannequins up, right? If you look at a mannequin and you're from New York, you may take a scarf from that mannequin, you may take some socks, you may take the pants, and then you make it your own thing. If you're in LA and looking at a mannequin, you buy the entire outfit.
The entire outfit. Exactly. We dress like clones here. So it's nice to see that natural hair is making its way to LA, because I know that women in other parts of the country and men were telling me, no, we all wear our hair natural in D.C. But I was like, really?
No, yeah, it's in LA. Specifically.
Yeah.
Right. Grown.
Well, we appreciate you and all your naturalness, Courtney Stewart.
That's all I can
no,
be.
No, we really it's do.
And so do the fans, because the fans have been commenting on that. So please continue.
Why isn't there more of a discussion? Like, when I was a kid, and again, it was a completely different time, there was a discussion about, like, well, do we all want to buy into straightening our hair just to look like so-and-so or to look more agreeable? Ooh. And there was a big discussion, and the answer back when I was a kid was no. Now, today, it's yes, absolutely. Sure. And I've seen lots of, little things on YouTube where we black people judge each other. If I hear one more person talking about someone's edges, I don't give a goddamn what your edges look like. And the fact that you're going to judge people on their edges means
Don't tell my grandmother that, though. No, my grandmother watches
some
edges.
See, I'm a little
though.
Bit about, like,
really?
Opposite
are you?
Of that.
Because yes.
I want
but
you
why?
To...
Per-
because I'm not judging you. We want you to protect your edges.
No,
because the reason that the edges are a problem is because they're ripping them out with
no,
all these wigs and stuff.
I understand that, but that's not what people are
judging.
Well,
now it's a joke. It's a joke.
But people are really hardcore on each other about something that is just genetics or has nothing to do with the person.
It can be genetics, for sure.
It can, be
it can definitely be genetics. I don't have any hair here.
Yeah.
I've never had hair genetic, there. You know, like, that's a genetic thing. Luckily, but, I wear it in front of my face.
But you're
so
also not
know.
Naomi Campbell with your weave back here.
And there your
edges,
hair, yeah.
Like, done from okay. here all the way back.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the root of where the edges conversation sort of came from.
I have seen those pictures, and I did go, oh, I feel...
But she's been a model for 30 damn years.
And she's still doing ones, too.
Yeah.
I've met girls who are in their 20s who were talking about, like, well, I might need Bosley hair replacement, and that's because we're ripping our hair out
yeah.
with weaves, trying to look a certain way. And I do find it insane when people are like, well, you don't look as professional, or I don't look as responsible because
story
our hair is
our
natural.
Lives.
It is kind of the story of our lives. But fashions will try, you know.
It's changing.
Fashions are
slowly
changing.
But surely.
Fashions are going into curly, but then what next when that goes away is what I'm trying to say. Because, again, I've
it
just
always
reached
comes
an
back.
Age where I realize I don't, there's no benefit in me trying to squish myself into a mold
right.
That other people say I must be.
Right. Yeah.
When you're a teenager or 20, you really think you have to, though, and that's what makes me a little sad for the kids coming up now, because they're going to think, if I don't have a perfect weave or perfect edges,
mm-hmm.
I'm not cool enough, and
oh,
you are.
True.
What are you laughing at,
Barbie
girl?
Barbie syndrome.
Well, listen, this is why you guys keep commenting on our YouTube
on our
and
hair.
our iTunes and everywhere else, because
but,
clearly we might need a hair section that we need to put in every week's show.
The series.
You know,
this week on hair.
This week on hair
Mitchell.
With Black Hollywood Live.
I'm sorry, I'm on my hair.
No, but
my
seriously,
so
continue
boxed.
To give us the comments and ratings on YouTube and on iTunes, because we do appreciate it, and we do take into account,
we
obviously,
do.
By this passionate conversation of what you guys are saying. All right, moving on to the ER Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Speaking of hair, or maybe
bad hair,
apparently Donald Trump has a lot of black supporters.
But
and
his hair's gotten
define
better,
a lot.
Yeah.
Well, define a lot is Trump
color.
Says 25%, but we really found out that it was only 4 to 5% that are actually his followers, black followers. But this week, it actually was kind of funny. Larry Wilmore on The Nightly Show on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
He had a contest, basically, where he wanted to find the black supporters for Trump. So he interviewed 6 of them. And it's interesting because he was kind of drilling them in a comedic way about why they were supporting Trump so much. Some of the comments they were making was they were losing faith in the current state of our Democratic Party. Some said he's gangsta. Some said he is cool. And some people said everybody's trying to make us a slave, except for Donald Trump. He will not make us a slave. Well, we have a little clip.
Yeah, because he'll kick you out of the country, so you can't be a slave.
That's very true. Well, we have a little clip here of that interview with the 6, quote-unquote, black supporters of Trump. Here we go.
Donald Trump. I'm a registered Democrat. Let me start mm-hmm. first. And I lost faith and belief in the current state of our party right now with our 2 candidates.
I'm open to Donald Trump because mm-hmm. I feel like he's a gangster.
He's a gangster.
He's a gangster.
Is he a gangster or a gangsta?
He's a gangster. Okay. He's going out here and he's kind of gangstering the whole situation. Mm-hmm. He's like, if you come up to my mic, you know, I'm taking you out.
Right.
Coming from the hip hop community, mm-hmm. I understand his language.
Right, because he is kind of like a rapper. Oh, I mean, he's into gold.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? He has his own vodka.
He's got his own vodka.
He's got a private jet.
He's got a private jet.
And he really likes white women.
Exactly. And his wife is a model.
Correct. Would that sway anybody else, those qualities?
Yeah, exactly. The way you express it, I've never thought of it that way, but exactly. You know, he's
but
pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Have you told other black people?
That is a little clip there. You can watch the full session on YouTube and go to Comedy Central as well for the clip from this week. What do you guys think about that? And, I mean, obviously Larry put a comedic spin on things, but it is a serious issue that these... I was trying to figure out if these people were hired actors or were they real?
The only one I really, truly, honestly believe is, like, a real supporter is the guy in the back right with the...
The
blue suit, just based off his answer. It sounded the most like, I'm not entertaining half of these questions, but then when he asked him a direct why he will support, it was like, okay... Somehow, psychically, I can see you actually supporting him. But that woman talking about the gangster thing, like, I'm just sitting over here, like, on national television, that's the sentence you decided to...
It comes across very ignorant. But at the same time, I think she's speaking to the sentiment of all the Trump supporters. They like the idea that he says whatever he really thinks.
Wants to say.
And he doesn't care what all these other people think. He doesn't care what the establishment thinks.
But why don't they understand he's not saying what he really thinks?
He hasn't talked to any
because he'd be calling you the N-word right to your face if he was saying what he really thinks.
The blacks. When he asked them, what do you guys think of that? What do you guys think when Donald Trump calls you guys the blacks?
Yeah.
She said, I think that, you know, he has a little, there's a disconnect between us and him. And, you know, that's us to mend that.
Well, one of the biggest things, too, is that if you watch the video, the gentleman who is in the tan jacket to the far left of the back of the panel.
The one that said he was cool.
The one who said he was cool. He mentioned the fact that he was Muslim. So yeah. Larry went crazy on him after that because he's saying, wait a minute, you're Muslim and you still support Donald Trump? And that's when he went in and started talking more about why he supported Trump with him being cool and that he supported his causes. But I'm thinking... Come on, man. I mean, that's where I started to believe that this was maybe some actors hired versus being real. Because if you're Muslim, there's no way
actors.
I can believe that you're supporting
because
him.
Because everybody that is supporting Trump, like, they're saying the same stuff. Like, they're not... They are just impressed that he's running off at the mouth and is actually winning, regardless of what the quote-unquote actual politicians and the establishment is doing. It doesn't... And they're able to overlook... all of the negative, horrible things that he says, and they're like, he's rich, he can run a business,
he can run a business. But they go bankrupt.
But he's
so
rich.
Many. But here's the thing, how is a gangster, I know you don't believe in him.
I don't think he's gangster.
I know you don't, but like, how is a gangster, or stir, to inherit millions, to inherit millions of dollars? Like, there's a thing that said, had he just taken the money he inherited, left it in the bank, not touched it, he would have more money than he actually has now. So I don't think that's gangster. I think that's super privileged. There's nothing gangster. And again, what it teaches me, and like, I'm an avid reader, so I'm guessing that most Americans are not. But I'm getting the sense like if Scott Baio, who's a idiot moron, who said horrible things about our first lady, like, you don't have to want to do her, but don't say stuff about her. Like, what he said was awful. He just came out saying and supporting Trump, saying, he's speaks the way that I do. So on a fifth grade level in like a Dr. Seuss book, apparently, because that's Trump's thing. It's literally just repeats these very simplistic sentences.
But isn't the reading level in America, the average person
fifth
reads
grade?
At a fifth grade level?
Fifth, sixth grade level. Yeah.
That's why the show came out. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
I'm pretty sure it's fifth.
Yeah.
I just want to say, because what really went viral on this was the guy in the front with the braids. He said...
About paid slave.
Paid slavery. And everyone took it like a whole nother way. I felt like it was a little taken out of context because I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt that he just looks at us being here in America and having to work
for
the man.
I think that's what he was saying.
Yeah, but it didn't come off like that and they didn't edit it that way. So I just wanted like to give that sentence the benefit of the doubt because I felt like that's where he was going with it. And I was just like,
well, what I found interesting too is the fact that Larry Wilmore asked them if they had told their family that they were supporting Trump, and everyone up there said absolutely.
I mean, they're on national television.
They were adamant about it.
So why wouldn't they tell their family?
I'm still torn if they're real Trump supporters or just people who were like, wait, I can be on TV.
Right. Because she said, I'm open to Trump.
I'm open to Trump.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, anyone's like, yeah, I want to be in it. All those people probably want to be actors, and that's why they're sitting on that panel. No, really. You're laughing, but it's true. People will do anything to get on television.
That's absolutely true.
Just like because a lot of the TV shows were like, it's your baby dad and mama thing. You know some of those people.
And they were paid money to go on there.
That's what I'm saying. They're paid money, and they've shown the behind the scenes where they're not even mad at the person, but they're not actors, but they know how to act, you know, especially.
Well, that's why I said I don't know if I believe that this entire case. I mean, I kind of agree with Jesse, the guy in the blue suit. He seemed like he might have been legit, but everybody else, I don't know, it was a little suspect.
Like, I'll tell you a little nugget. A friend of mine was shooting the movie Studio 54, or 54, I think, whatever. I went to visit her on set, and they were like, hey, you want to be in it? We can have you walk in. There's one of the girls in the slopes. Sure. And Donald Trump is in the movie, and so they're like, what if we ever walk in Trump? And they were like, no, he won't do that. Like, he wouldn't walk in with someone black. So I don't know if that was coming from him, but production knew, like, not to stick a black girl next to him on the walk-in, just the walk-in on Studio 54. So again, I can't say that's coming from him, but it must have come from sipping her tea.
Was that sipping your tea
sipping
right there, Courtney?
That was
guzzling your tea right there. That wasn't sipping.
But I don't think this liberal cast and crew of the movie would have come up with that on their own, is all I'm trying to say here. I think they his camp. And
he's got lots of black friends.
Black friends. Well, you know, what's also interesting is that I was reading a recent article talking about how he's lied about his black supporters. So I kind of mentioned it at the top of the statement, but Trump said he has 25% of black supporters, and the reality is, according to factcheck.org, he only has 4 to 5%.
Why do we let him lie and get away with it? Like, that's the thing. If Hillary or Bernie say one thing, there's a million fact checkers. Right. He just lies, straight up lies. We say it's lies, but most people don't read newspapers, so they don't know.
And we accept that from Hollywood.
But it's only
that's how he got as far as he's gotten.
And if he hadn't had his TV show, I don't think all these Americans would be supporting him.
I agree with that.
We recognize him from television and
celebrity. Because honestly, the only thing that doesn't want to make me hate him is that I love the show Celebrity Apprentice.
You do?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Jesse. You were there the day we were at the NBC press junket, and I think the day I interviewed Donald Trump. And you know what? He was
great.
He was great, and I had a totally different viewpoint about him. And then when he started running, honestly, I really thought this entire thing was a joke because of the way that he was with me when I interviewed him. I would have never gotten.
Did you read the New York Times article?
Yes,
that was a good article. They basically went down. This is why we think from New York Times perspective was when he was ripped a new a-hole by a few different comedians and President Obama at a dinner. It was like after that he was like, I will get respect. And
was it the roast? Because there's a roast that Seth Meyers just recently did that I just posted if you go to my Daryl Kristen Facebook.
Yeah, they did it, Don.
I think there's one where Obama was before that.
Okay, because there's one because Obama laughs at the end of the...
That's after he started running.
Got it, okay.
And Obama laughed. Okay.
And I know that he was pissed off about this. This is something else
where Obama is basically going in hard on Donald Trump. And I do believe that it was simply ego that made Donald Trump want to win. I don't think he wants to be president of the United States. I think he's just ego enough.
Let me see if I can do this. Right, which I get,
because a lot of the things I've accomplished in my life were pure ego. Like, let me see if I can do this. I think I can do it. But this is holding our country hostage.
I was reading this thing watching this thing on Haiti, and they were talking about Sweet Mickey and how he was a performer in Haiti, and then he was so beloved, and he had no political stance for the country, but his music was Fight the Power.
Right.
And so Praz from the Fugees got him to, you know, be a part of this, and he actually ended up becoming president and, like, helping.
People who have causes like Bob we're not talking about people who actually had something going, this is different.
He wants to make America great again.
Well, no, it's almost like he saw that and he's ripping that off, and it's like, but for the negative.
Right, that's true. I believe that Trump is someone who would be separate and unequal. That's the truth. Like, if Trump becomes president, we have a completely separate and unequal world, which we're already living in, because one thing we haven't even touched on is how one of Nixon's aides this week was you know what? We did have a war against drugs and black people, which, by the way, I want my 40 acres and a mule right now. goddamn now because that's so crazy. Because that's
we should all be suing right now.
But we should. When I was coming up as a kid, that was after that time period, and I would like, why are people looking at me like I'm a criminal when I haven't done anything yet?
All in the
but here's the thing: are we really surprised by that?
No, we're not surprised by it. There are definitely some people that are surprised by it, but we are not.
Why are more people talking about it? Like that's what I don't get.
Because
like,
they don't want to get back to the conversation of race. Oh, there's something against black people. Right. You can still work. You can still become anything you want to be. This is America, the greatest country in the world. There's no racism. And if there is, everybody's got their problems. You can overcome, and it'll be fine, and we'll all be fine because that's how fine we are right now. Because we all so fine, because we always just keep looking the other way.
Bam. All right, well, we're going to end on something positive. There are three black women in the Congress who have made history this week because they have created a formation of the first and only Congressional Caucus for Black Women and Girls. Yeah, yeah. The caucus is described as a group devoted to creating public policy that eliminates significant barriers and disparities experienced by black women. It's made up of three different U.S. representatives, Bonnie Watson Coleman, Robin Kelly, and Yvette Clark. This is the first of 430 registered congressional caucuses and member organizations specifically targeted for black women and girls. And this is what Robin Kelly had to say about it, who is a part of this movement. She said, black women and girls are disproportionately affected by a myriad of socioeconomic issues that diminish their quality of life and well-being. So this is supposed to change the game or be a start of changing the game. So I think that's, first of all, we should applaud that and clap for that because that is going to change a lot of things, I think, for young black women and girls, especially when we talk about things, you know, such as Donald Trump and other things like that, but and racism. But this is going to, I think, change the movement. But Courtney, you look like you have a little bit
of
skepticism.
What's the concern, Courtney?
You look a little skepticism.
That's the thing. I decided I'm just not going to be negative. I'm going to be positive and hopeful and not...
What did you first think?
I think that it's 2016. You have a caucus. Great. Congress has been so effective for the last God knows how long. I won't even say lastly. It's been years. They've been so effective, and their effectiveness is not something that I look to be what it should be, what it needs to be, but maybe they'll surprise us all, and it'll be. And there's nothing wrong with an attempt at all, but at the same time, we're looking at who's running for president right now, who's going to be in this space where funding is going to go. Like,
this is not going to help us now, but this might help the next generation.
Maybe.
No, and I understand why you're maybe. I totally get why you have that piece about it. Like, great. Like, another
I want
group
to be really
to discuss,
excited about it.
But I do think this is a step in the right direction, at least, because again, it's 2016, and these are all issues that have been going on
forever.
Yes. I mean, forever. Like, okay, so we passed, like, you know, equal rights, and then everything was kind of swept under the rug. So this is kind of the birth of us talking about
things again.
2016, which is crazy. But again, we couldn't even go in the same restaurant 50 years ago, 55 years ago.
It's a
drop in the bucket. It literally just happened in the scheme of things.
Yeah. And according to some restaurants, even now,
with
a couple lawsuits that are taking place.
But you know what's interesting? Yeah. When I was working on my sitcom, and my friend, a couple cast members who were black and lived in the Valley were having a conversation one day about like what restaurants were okay to go to and which ones weren't. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
And they were like, Rachel, you're an idiot. And I was like, yes, I am. Sometimes. But this was I am. I'll be the first to admit it. Because I'm not as naive as that, but I just was like, the Valley? I mean, nobody's talking about Simi Valley. You mean the Valley?
Right.
And they were like, yes. So... yeah.
I mean, nothing surprises me these days. But the thing with this, I just think it's a conversation that started, and the conversations help make movements, even if it's not overnight. You know, it's just a long-term thing. All right, that concludes the topics of today, per se. But I do have something special that I wanted to show. We there's a lot of buzz about Batman versus Superman that's coming out.
I know, I'm excited.
I had the opportunity to see a screening of the movie yesterday, and we have a little clip because the movie opens up in most places tonight. And then major releases tomorrow. But here's a 30-second clip, and I want to find out if you guys are excited about the movie.
Here I am. I'm Batman.
No,
I'm excited about Henry.
I was on, well, Henry does, I personally think Henry was great. I had a lot of reservation about
Ben
playing Batman. I did. I mean, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian Bale fan.
Daredevil?
Yeah. Do you forget?
I'm a Christian Bale fan. Greatest
gladiator. Me too. Those were the best Batman movies ever, besides the TV show. But, this is why I'm not excited about this.
Ben Affleck does deliver, though. I must admit, he does deliver.
I'm not excited about this movie because I saw the first one with a friend of mine who writes for Critic for newspapers, and we were both shocked at how humorless, dry, and dull it was, the first Superman, and the collateral damage, which I know they address, I think. No spoilers, but they address that. But I just thought that was the weirdest thing, that Superman rips up an entire city, like millions of people are dying, and there's like not a drop of humor in the movie, like not one little laugh. Yeah. I don't care about this movie.
Well, I would say
Rachel
would not be there apparently this weekend.
Or in any subsequent Batman or Superman movies.
But they do introduce Wonder Woman, which I did like.
No, you liked what she looked like.
I am excited like for Wonder Woman. Looks, yes. Did you guys ever, there's a book about the backstory of Wonder Woman. It's an autobiography of the writer. Read it. It's really interesting because she is a great feminist icon.
She was. And I think she's portrayed that way in this movie, how
that's
they introduce
awesome.
Her.
I'm excited
did.
For good a Wonder Woman movie. All on her own. I think
I hear that's in the works. So, I think she's about to be a major star.
I'm here for that.
I bet she kicks ass. She was in the Israeli army. When people are like, she's too skinny. I'm like, I think she could take each and every one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she could. Yeah. Courtney, where can fans find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
Jesse?
You guys can find me at the theater this weekend watching my Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
And Batman vs. Superman.
And Batman vs. Superman.
The tickets aren't...
You can't see it. It's so sold out already, right?
Rachel? I'm at Rachel True on Twitter. And please check out my blog, which is racheltrue.com, because I've got some posts on health stuff, and I've got craft scripts for sale up on there, too.
I'll go to her site. Well, you can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and on Walking Dead on Sunday nights at AfterBuzz TV.
True Rachel True on Instagram. I keep forgetting.
Plug that. All right, and we'll see you guys next week. And also remember to go to the BuzzMeter question and give us a rating and comment. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Daryl Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagrammy, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.